Rush into Old Navy today for this can't-miss one-day deal. 50% off all Old Navy active for the family. Get the workout wear you need at a huge 50% off one day only today. Hurry in or miss out at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid 10/20, select styles only, excludes in-store clearance.
You are Locked On Wizards, your daily Washington Wizards podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome back to another edition of the Locked On Wizards podcast. I won't say this is an emergency edition because I already had the bulk of this podcast recorded. Talked to former Georgetown assistant coach or director of player ops, Scott Greenman, about his time with Otto Porter, a young Otto Porter, plus the second part of my conversation with Adam Rubin about Summer League. But I have to botch the entire first section I did because in between the Wizards now officially are on the clock with the Otto Porter contract. Brooklyn signed him 4 years, $106 million. They've got 48 hours to match. I needed some insight, though, to help me discuss this. Perfect timing because I'm at the Nats. There's a rain delay, and the guy sitting next to me is the guy who covered the team for 2 years, Mr. Jorge Castillo at the Washington Post. I've been trying to get you in the podcast forever. Thank God the rain delay and all this has finally let it all happen. Big day, big time to make a debut, so don't joke.
I'll try not to, man.
All right, well, so look, there's a lot of variables here. Just to set it up, I haven't seen the physical contract. I can say I can confirm that the Wizards did get it and that it included a player option and a trade kicker. Zach Lowe said that the trade option is for 15% and that there's an unusual provision, according to Zach Lowe, that's the Wizards would have to pay out on Porter 50% of his annual salary basically at the start of the season. Neither Jorge or I or neither of us are contract lawyers, so I don't quite know what all that means, but seems odd. Seems like it could be there's enough things in there that maybe the David Falk and Otto Porter are saying, yo, we're cool if we stay over here with the Nets, but the Wizards have told people, I've heard myself, that they intend to match. All that said, Jorge, right now, what do you think? Wizards, what's your sense of the situation, I guess, first and foremost?
Again, I'm not privy to anything. I mean, I'm just here. And that's probably enjoying a rain delay. But based on everything I've read, I mean, I do read stuff still in the podcast and the Lowe podcast and Simmons and all that. It's you have to match. I mean, right? Like, what else are you going to do? They literally cannot do anything with that money that they would give, you know, Otto Porter. So it's just a matter of either you have an Otto Porter or you don't have an Otto Porter and you can't go out and replace him with whomever is out there. So it's kind of have to, no matter how weird they make the contract or whatever games David Falk and Otto are playing, you kind of just have to bite the bullet and pay him. And I know everybody's like, that's another matter in terms of if he's worth it or not. But it's been expected that he's going to, I mean, since I've been on the beat, it's sort of expected, you know, if Otto can live up to it, you know, is he worth the max and all that. I mean, I don't think people back then, like 2 years ago, were thinking Otto Porter was going to get the max, but the NBA landscape has changed so much that you kind of have to. I mean, just last year's everything kind of blew up, and now this year, I mean, we've seen some change. The salary cap didn't go out as high as people thought it would go, and the money isn't as crazy out there, but you have to give him money.
And part of this is also, it feels like this gets overlooked at times. Otto Porter had a really good year last year, fourth in the NBA in three-point shooting. That's the most obvious stat people like to say. He only averaged 13 points. I don't know what to tell you. If you watch Otto Porter play and you see how the Wizards use him, that's not what his role is, not to go out there and get buckets per se. It's to do a lot of the subtle stuff. He's good at getting rebounds, playing, getting the open looks, so on and so on. He's also unbelievably efficient. You look at various, if you look at the at Locked On Wizards tweet feed, I just happen to be tweeting a few of these posts from various basketball analytics sites that just show how unbelievably effective he was. But like, to the larger point, Bobby Marks with ESPN tweeted this out a few moments ago. Even if the Wizards let Otto Porter go, they have no money next year in the salary cap. We can argue about why that's the case and the Jan Mahimis of it all. That's it. That's the reality. So if you let Otto Porter go, you're not all of a sudden freeing up money to get Boogie Cousins, who seems to be the apple of everybody's eye. So there's really not much, like you said, they can do. But if you let the asset walk, i.e. Otto Porter, you're getting nothing out of that. And now you've taken a step back without the opportunity to either build off of what you have or maybe hypothetically trade him or somebody else down the line. So to me, it seems like a no-brainer. I'm glad a smart guy like you seems to think that it seems pretty obvious. But, yeah, I guess now we'll see what the Wizards what the Wizards do. What's it been like sort of watching? I mean, you've been off the beat now for a bit, but what's it been like watching, I guess, this particular aspect of it? Does it remind you? Does it give you, like, non-flashbacks of your time on the beat?
Not even. I only did really, like, one, like, complete offseason. That was the one that when Pierce left. That jumped on right after Pierce signed. And then, you know, that was only that was really the only offseason, because I left right before Beal did his max thing, which I wrote a million times it was on its way, because it needs to be on its way, because there's nothing else the Wizards could do. And it's something else that, like, people don't realize, like, the Wizards might be the third best team in the Eastern Conference next year. I mean, I think they'll be better than the Raptors next year. The Eastern Conference is wide open, like, compared to the West, obviously. It's like some people want to make the quantum leap from, like, you know, whatever they were a few years ago to number one. It's just, hey, they're going to have a very good team for the next few years.
And, you know, you're a New England guy. I get it. Boston, this guy, Gordon Hayward. Are we convinced they've taken a massive step ahead of the Wizards? I mean, let's not forget, last year these teams played us 11 times. The home team won 11 games. That's pretty even. I get Gordon Hayward's a very good player. But if you're going to trade Jay Crowder, let's just say that's the rumor. They sounds like to trade somebody.
Marcus Smart.
Or Marcus Smart. And I know they also added Jason Tatum, but he's a rookie. I mean, it's hard to know what he's going to do. Does that all of a sudden make Boston so much better if the Wizards bring back their starting five? Plus, knock on wood for them, it looks like they've upgraded their backcourt depth, which last year was a mess. Is it, like, inconceivable they could beat Boston? No, I don't think so. So that's another point. It's like, wait, everybody wants to say you can't go further. I'm not convinced of that.
Yeah, of course. And ultimately, I think the thing that we got to think about in terms of long term, yeah, the next couple of years, whatever, the Wizards will be there. It's like, if John Wall's not happy, then John Wall will leave. I mean, there's a reason why he hasn't signed that contract extension, which is, what, like $40 million a year on average. That's an amazing amount of money. The fact that he has the discipline, I guess, or just, I want to say stubbornness, but the fact he hasn't signed it yet is pretty telling. I mean, you put $169 million or whatever it is in front of a 27-year-old, most likely they're going to sign it. So the fact that he hasn't shows, hey, I want to see what you guys are going to do for me, which is super interesting in itself, because we're talking about this right now because there's not much they can do. Like, it's literally Otto Porter or bust at this point. So if John Wall doesn't think that's enough, then that's a major problem, because, you know, you lose John Wall and you're starting basically from scratch. I mean, Bradley Beal may end up being, you know, he's probably going to be an all-star next year given the state of the Eastern Conference, but is he a number one guy on a championship-level team? You can ask that question about John Wall. So a lot needs to go right in the next couple of years for the Wizards. That's so crucial. It's about satisfying John Wall. It's just the way it is, man. You know, satisfy your stars. If you don't satisfy your stars, they're going to leave. We've seen that everywhere.
Yeah. It's something I just put up for FanRag Sports, which presumably will be up by the time you hear this. I wrote, after going through the news, I put, like, here are the three variables to consider. One, does anything in the contract spook the Wizards? They've said they want to keep him. Okay, but does anything in there change their tune? Two, as I said, you could argue that based on some of those provisions, maybe Otto Porter's camp is sort of giving a subtle hint, hey, we wouldn't mind walking. What does that do if I'm reading that potentially right? And the last one is the John Wall factor. He came out a few days ago and openly said he was trying to recruit Paul George, and in doing so, some would argue he threw some shade at Otto Porter by basically saying, look, we need a better player at that spot to deal with the LeBrons of the world, even though Paul George was a free agent, so it didn't really make a difference that he was recruiting him. But and this idea, like you said, he hasn't signed this extension. Is he waiting for the Wizards to commit money to Otto Porter to keep the band together, or is he basically saying, nah, I'm cool if you don't keep him? That's a variable we don't know. It seems illogical that you would say let him walk when, again, there's nothing they could do about it. If he does walk.
Well, I guess one alternative, tell me if I'm wrong, because I'm not getting privy I'm not as connected to this as I...
You're focused on Bryce Harper's contract.
But one other aspect, I guess, one third option is you have an Otto Porter on your roster at 24 or whatever he's going to be making, and you can trade him. I mean, you can trade him and absorb a Carmelo Anthony. Maybe the Knicks will be like, all right, Otto in a first-round pick, and you can have your Carmelo Anthony. Maybe that satisfies John Wall for the next couple of years.
So, and this is a different variable. Robbie Marks said that this trade provision. Apparently, there's something there that says Otto Porter could potentially veto a trade for the first year of the deal. another element. Now, if they were to hypothetically pull something off like that, I mean, would he object to going to the Knicks? I mean, obviously, this is taking it to extra step. But yeah, the point would be there's a lot of the larger point is if you keep him, whether it's next year or down line, you could trade him. Again, Oklahoma City just traded Victor Oladipo's crappy contract, a player who, I'm not saying he can't improve, but his stock is on the decline, whereas Otto's is rising, and they just traded him to get Paul George. I understand a sort of Indiana, I don't know what they were doing, and Paul George is in the last year of his deal, but the point is, if Otto Porter is good, which he was last year, if he improves on that or whatever, people will want that. So it's not inconceivable that you can move him down the line if that's what it comes to.
Yeah, and you mentioned earlier, he's 6'9"? He can shoot the basketball. He's the ultimate, he doesn't really want the ball. You don't have to run the offense through him. He's super selfless. Like, he does the little things that nobody else really wants to do. Crashes the boards, play defense, deflections, and all that stuff. He's a great third player or fourth player on a really good team. You know, for John Wall's a facilitator. Bradley Beal's a scorer. You got the two other guys. And you got Otto Porter doing the rest. I think he works well with that. You know, whether he can improve is finally put some muscle on or something. I don't know. We'll see if he can do that.
All right. So we're both in agreement that unless there's something wacky in the contract or something else is going on out there, the Wizards should keep Otto Porter. So this now brings us to the ultimate question. Will Bryce Harper sign? Oh, do you want to answer that question? Will Bryce Harper be staying with the Nets? Do you want to go into that one?
Gun in my head, no. I don't think he would. Well,
really? You don't think he's staying?
No, I think that's sort of sentiment everywhere. Yeah. Sort of thinking that. But, hey, a lot can change, man.
Exactly.
A year and a half away.
Right. Maybe he says, hey, Otto Porter staying down, that's a good thing. I want to be around winners. Maybe that's his take.
Yeah.
All right, Jorge, man. I appreciate it. Glad we got to do this. We have to have an extended chat at some point when we're not dealing with breaking news and rain delays. But I appreciate you hopping on, man.
No problem, man.
As a reminder, I will be out in Vegas for starting Saturday. In theory, should be there for the first three games. So hopefully we'll have some good stuff to give you guys from there. But right now, let me get to our friend Scott Greenman, assistant basketball coach at American University. He's here to tell us about Otto Porter, the guy behind the guy. All right. Obviously, Otto Porter is kind of in the news these days. At any point on Thursday, we may hear if the Wizards are matching the offer sheet that Otto Porter signed with Brooklyn, 4 years, $106 million. That is some good money. We know a lot about Otto Porter from his days at the Wizards, but let's get a little more background on their starting small forward and presumably their starting small forward for the next few years to come. Here to help me do that, a guy who knew him from his days at Georgetown. He was there during Otto's 2 years as the director of basketball ops. He's now assistant coach with American University, friend of the podcast, Mr. Scott Greenman. Scott, you don't have anything better to do with your summer than talk to me on a podcast?
No, this trumps any other responsibilities that I have.
Wow, that is we may have to discuss your life choices then if that's the case. Hey man, I really appreciate you you coming on and you know, wanted to talk a little bit Otto. I saw you know you're on Twitter. I wouldn't say you're a volume tweeter like myself. So when I see you tweet, I'm like, oh, what's going on? And I don't have it in front of me, but you were like, oh, Otto, hey, that's pretty awesome for him. You were giving him some praise when that offer sheet came down. I want to ask you some about what you knew of him when, but what's that like? I mean, we were just talking before the show started about the fact that the offer sheet, 4 years, $106 million. I mean, you being at Georgetown, you were around a lot of guys, obviously a lot of alumni there, came back, guys, Patrick Ewing, Alonzo Mourning, who made real money. But what's it like to know somebody? You met this guy, he's coming in as a recruit, I'm sure, complete small town kid. Now he's going to make $106 million with one team or another. What is that like, kind of right, realizing that's the growth, that's the trend for Otto Porter?
Yeah, well, just incredibly happy for him. You know, he's like one of the best people I've ever been around in my life. So it's just fun to kind of see his progression of, you know, first time gets on a flight is when he visits Georgetown and then, you know, has a good, you know, good freshman year and then kind of blows up his sophomore year and obviously goes to the NBA and has had an incredibly efficient career thus far, even though he's only so young. But it's just great because he's like the kind of like the American dream, and you know, he's a great kid. He's humble. He's a hard worker. You know, I don't think any of this money is going to, you know, change anything about him. He's just a very good person, and just like these are the kind of people that you love to see this happen for. So I'm just happy for him, and he deserves, you know, everything that he gets. You know, he's not necessarily a freak athlete or a freak anything. He's just really, really intelligent player, really hard worker, and has, you know, gotten himself to this point by doing everything kind of the right way. So it's really neat to see. And obviously, you know, having a personal relationship with him and having coached him is great, but it's just, I'm just incredibly happy for him.
So Otto is almost, I think that one thing that's curious about Otto, or not maybe curious, but like interesting, is he is so the polar opposite from a personality standpoint, at least as I know him. I mean, I've been around him now for his entire 6 years in town with Georgetown and DC and the Wizards, but I don't pretend to know him for real. We don't have that kind of relationship. But from the outside, he just seems the polar opposite of the NBA player stereotype. He's got, I always say he plays with like no ego. He's not a look at me kind of player. You mentioned he's not maybe the best right. athlete. So when he does stuff on the court, it's not like you don't ever think, wow, that's going up on a poster. And then, like I said, because he's not a demonstrative personality at all, it seems to be just complete opposite right. of what we're used to. And I think that does throw some people sometimes. Give me your impression when you first laid eyes on him in person. Well, I don't know if that was, I know you were maybe not doing as much recruiting back then. I don't know if that was in Missouri or when he gets on campus. What's he like as a guy, and how sort of fish out of water was he coming to Georgetown right away?
Well, I mean, you know, I think a lot of it comes from the way he was raised. Like, you know, his parents didn't let him play AAU. You know, he grew up in a small town, I believe, with, you know, a lot of his extended family, an immediate family, and, you know, he broke all of his dad's insane records at his high school. You know, I think Otto got like close to 40 rebounds in the game, or an average, you know, 20 rebounds per game, or whatever it was. It was nuts. And they just taught, you know, they taught him how to play. They taught him what was important, you know, in life and in basketball from like an early age. So, you know, he grew up playing around older players, which I think helps kind of weed out the BS in a lot of people's games, because, you know, you don't care about getting on YouTube and this and that. You just play to win. And so I think that was instilled at him from an early age, and it's something that he's kept, obviously, throughout his entire career thus far. And then coming to Georgetown, I mean, the first thing I remember was just, you know, I watched film on him, but I wasn't recruiting. So, you know, I watched YouTube film on him. I remember Coach Thompson sent me something and be like, you know, let me know what you think. I think everybody on staff was like, yes, you know, immediately go. We should go recruit him. And then obviously, you know, I know Coach Kirby did a great job with that. But it was just like he was, you know, you watched him on film and he did everything. And, you know, he got every rebound. He affected the game in like a trillion different ways on every single play. And so, you know, that was apparent from watching high school film. And then, you know, I remember his first workout at Georgetown. You know, I think he had like, you know, gotten off the plane either that day or the, you know, the day prior, and came in and we did this like hard hour workout, and you know, he probably, you know, shot about 90% on jump shots, and I was like, you know, holy cow, this guy's a real deal. And just the way he went about his business was in a manner that was not typical for, you know, an 18-year-old. So that's kind of what stands out to you, is just his maturity and the way he approached basketball was beyond his age, certainly.
And I remember, you know, from my perspective, the first, you know, we don't get to talk to freshmen first semester at Georgetown. Don't get me started on that policy. But in any event, whenever we finally get to talk to him, and he'd already become a pretty good important player for Georgetown during his freshman season, and you know, it's not even so much he was a yes sir kind of a kid. That almost goes, it's almost sort of beyond that. It's just almost like he didn't seem to have even the hint of a defiant bone in his body. If the coach said jump, the whole how high was sort of, it seemed like his response would be. Is that, do you ever recall him, I don't want to say talking back, but like everyone like not immediately doing what was said? Because it doesn't seem like he's that kind of guy.
No. I mean, it's not like he's putting on some persona, you know, when reporters are around or when people are watching and he's a different guy, you know, behind closed doors. He is, you know, I mean, it sounds, you know, cliche, but he is exactly what, you know, what you see is what you get. And it's good. You know, I was talking to somebody because I know you had mentioned, like, you know, do you have, you know, stories about that or anything like that? And I'm like, well, not really. He just does what he's supposed to do all the time and is a really good person. You know, I was like, he's, you know, maybe viewed, not boring, but I don't know what the right word is, you know, viewed in the same way that maybe Kawhi Leonard is, where people are like, oh, man, he's this terrific player, but he's not fancy and doesn't do it for whatever, do things for Instagram, do things for YouTube. He's just about his business with basketball, and I think Otto is very much in that same mold. And that's, you know, about the highest compliment I think you can give. Because I do see kind of similarities just from obviously from afar. I don't know Kawhi Leonard at all, but watching him, you know, the way he carries himself, the way he talks to the media, the way he seems to be so coachable, you know, kind of reminds me of the way that Otto is, where it may not be the most exciting thing to write about, but he's damn well worth, you know, whatever he's about to get paid, because he's really good at basketball and he's great for, you know, the team, and he's a terrific teammate. And you don't have, you know, he's a no maintenance NBA player, which I would imagine, you know, is pretty rare.
Yeah, no, I remember when he got drafted by the Wizards, and I think I'm sure I wrote about it or tweeted or something and said, Randy Whitman is going to absolutely adore this kid, because, you know, Randy Whitman, definitely more of the old school type coach who, you know, and maybe he didn't perfectly fit with the modern NBA, whereas Otto was going to, yes, sir, whatever you want to do, it's going to work. I don't know if you remember this. Sometimes Georgetown, well, every year Georgetown has some sort of a end of the year dinner celebration after the end of the year, obviously, and they once in a while let the media tag along for free food, and of course I don't say no to that. And we were there for Otto's send off after his sophomore year. I don't even know if he had declared yet for the draft, but it was pretty obvious he was not going to come back after being you know, big right. player of the year. And so all the players get up and give a speech. I remember Markelle Starks was interminable. He went on forever and a day about God knows what. But Otto's, I remember, because it was just so innocent. He talked about, I think he said it was like the first time he ever got on a plane was when he went from Missouri to Georgetown, and he noted how different it was. Like, I think it was raining in Missouri, but sunny in Georgetown, and how that stood out to him. And right. just sort of the innocence of that to me really sort of captured what this kid was coming from. And, you know, obviously going to a campus, it can be a big culture shock. I mean, it's a bigger city, of course, but it's also somewhat insulated right. and you're with the team. But that always was stood out to me about the change in Otto Porter going from rural Missouri to the big city in that like kind of one story.
Yeah. And then the funny thing about that speech too is, like, you know, because he is, you know, relatively quiet, we weren't expecting him to, you know, talk for too long. But I remember, I think he spoke for like 35 minutes in his post-sophomore season speech. We're like, wow, you know, he's been holding back on us. But yeah, no, I mean, I would have to Google check this, but I want to say, you know, his high school had like 200 kids total. So it was about as big of a jump as you could make, you know, within the United States. But I think just, you know, his values were instilled in him, and he was raised a certain way where kind of his surroundings didn't necessarily, they weren't going to change who, you know, how he was raised and the way he went about his business. And so I think even though it was a drastic change culturally and socially, like, he still understood, you know, what he was at Georgetown to do and how to kind of accomplish what he wanted to accomplish. So I think that's the why he was able to have such success, even though it was a major change in scenery for him.
All right, you're listening to the Locked On Wizards podcast. Ben Standing here along with Scott Greenman, assistant men's basketball coach at American University. I'm sure Scott will take your Twitter follow. He's at coach_Greenman. And we're talking about Otto Porter, a guy he knew from his days when he was with the Georgetown program. So to tie this Georgetown stuff in with the Wizards, look, there are fans out there or people who cover the league who are not quite sure that it makes sense for the Wizards to match this contract, because they view it as, hey, if you're giving a guy the max contract, you know, that term changes with a lot of opinion, a lot of people, you need to do that for a player who has, I don't know, some people want to say all-star potential, superstar potential, whatever that sort of bigger picture thing. He can be part of a big three that's obviously a big deal in the NBA. And there's some people who aren't convinced he's going to get there, or he's got that style to get there. Now, I'm a big proponent of Otto Porter. I pretty much have been from day one. I said his second year at Georgetown was probably my favorite year, or he was probably my favorite player to watch over the course of a season that year of anyone I can really remember covering. That's purely a basketball thing, as we've established. He wasn't giving me much in the way of quotes. But you saw a guy rise from that freshman year to the sophomore year. You know, the three-point shooting, he was a mess as a freshman. At the sophomore year, he led the Big East in three-point shooting. We've seen that development with the Wizards. He couldn't make the pro three early on. Last year, he finishes fourth in the NBA in three-point shooting. And so my question for you is, with regards to that next level, that can he become an all-star? Can he become more demonstrative, take over, be more aggressive, sort of the attributes people are kind of waiting for before maybe they can say, okay, he really can get there. What did you see at Georgetown that from that freshman year to that sophomore year, or maybe it was earlier than that, where he goes from being, hey, I'm the quiet guy, to, look, I'm taking over a little bit more because this is my role, I'm the guy, so on and so on.
Right. Well, you know, his ability to learn is high level. So, you know, he picks things up quickly and he isn't arrogant or ignorant with what he needs to improve upon. So he's able to kind of recognize what his weaknesses are and then he attacks them. He's not somebody who's just going to do, practice the things that he's already good at. He's good at turning kind of his weaknesses into strengths. So I think that was a thing, you know, going into a sophomore year where it was, you know, this is what he shot from three. This is what we think you can shoot, and this is a good way to work on it. And he, you know, did it. And you know, obviously the results speak for himself. I think the other thing you have to remember with him now is like he's still really young. I think he's maybe 23. So every year he's been in the league, he's improved. So I think given more opportunity and given another year of experience, I think that progression isn't going to stop. I think he's definitely worth, you know, max deal or I'm not super familiar with how the NBA works in regards to contracts, but I mean, I know he's making a lot of money, but I think he's definitely worth it. I think everything he brings to the table is very important and helps you win. And I do think, you know, he's going to improve on, you know, I guess people, you know, break whatever the people perceive as his weaknesses now, they're going to get better and his strengths are too. So I wouldn't be worried about that at all. I mean, that guy's a winner and he's going to win. And the longer he's in the league, the more he's going to be able to figure it out. So I wouldn't be too worried about that. And I think it's like he's an efficient player too. You know, I think like, you know, he's not a volume guy and this and that. You know, I know it's a relatively guard dominant, you know, dominant league, and he's a bigger forward. So, you know, I think his efficiency is impressive, where he may not be necessarily have the ball as much as a lot of guys, where he's going to put up, you know, certain types of numbers. But I think in the times that he does get and the opportunities that he gets, he's pretty damn good, at least in the games I watched. And hopefully Google will back me up on that.
Yeah, no, I hear it. One sort of maybe last auto question. This probably isn't as relevant now since, again, at the moment we're talking, and based on the people I've talked to and other reports in the league, seems like the Wizards are going to match. So therefore, Otto Porter would be staying in D.C. And that's obviously where he's been for the last 6 years. We just talked about how he's this kid from small town Missouri. He's come here. And, you know, I know he goes back to Georgetown a lot, you know, on off days or what have you, to hang around the situation there. I know that even though JT3 is no longer the head coach at Georgetown, that he's still involved in Otto's world. That seems like a good safety blanket for him. And, you know, obviously, again, he's been with the Wizards now these last 4 years. Do you think that there's something to – I've sort of thought to myself, look, David Falk has a job to do, right? We kind of know what that job is. But I've kind of thought, like, if you're doing what's best for your client, it kind of seems to me that, as far as I know, maybe I'm wrong, that Otto Porter would have been best served staying around here, simply because for a guy with his sort of personality and whatnot, having that comfort level of the Georgetown being right here, being familiar with the Wizards, would be a good thing. What's your sense of that? Am I maybe not giving him enough credit in terms of his maturity. I know you maybe don't, I don't know how often you talk to him these days, but, you know, am I not giving enough credit, or is there something to that? Like, hey, he's got a pretty good comfort zone here and it kind of works with who he is.
Right. Yeah. I mean, he would probably have to answer that question. You know, I think that's a probably good assumption, but I can't speak, you know, I definitely can't speak for him on anything, but, you know, especially kind of that. I know he loves Georgetown, the people at Georgetown love him and have done a great job of obviously taking him in as one of their own, and he's done, you know, done a great job of getting back over there and being familiar with everybody. So I know there still is a great relationship with Georgetown, so I think that's important. Now, I don't doubt that he would do well, you know, anywhere else in the country either. So like I said, I think that's probably more of a personal preference, and I wouldn't necessarily have the answer to that.
Gotcha. All right. Fair enough. I told you I'm going out to Las Vegas to go see the NBA Summer League. One of the guys on the Wizards team is, well, so a couple Georgetown guys will be out there. I'll check on. There's no AU guys out there. You're going to work on that for me because I need some AU guys to cover in the future. But then, but also out there is Chris Jenkins. You guys played Villanova this year. Obviously, Villanova was the defending national champs, and they were, you know, the best team in the Big East this year. So they were a pretty good team. Just curious from a coaching perspective. I don't know if Chris Jenkins has got a shot to make the Wizards, but from a coaching perspective, what's a quick thumbnail sketch as to what we might be seeing when he's out there with the Wizards? What do you think is sort of the keys to his game?
Obviously, I mean, the thing that stands out is the way that he shoots the ball. So that's a very important skill in today's game. So I think that's a huge plus. And I think he actually probably has a good amount of similarities as Otto in that he played for a great coach in college, won a lot of games, and kind of knows what goes into winning, and, you know, won all throughout high school as well. So I think the history of his, the teams that he's been on have won. And so I think just knowing what goes into that's important. And then being able to shoot the ball like he does, is a specialty, and I think he'd be able to help, you know, help teams. I don't know a ton about, you know, the rest of his game, but I know he can, if he has an inch, that thing's going in.
I legitimately say this, like, among my favorite, I mean, I'm at the Verizon Center all the time for the Wizards in Georgetown, and honestly, it's not my favorite place to watch a game, partly just because any big arena is going to be not ideal to watch a basketball game. It's always way more fun to be in an intimate setting, and there's no more intimate setting in town than Bender Arena. So I always enjoy going out to see you guys play. What are you guys looking at this year? Give us the quick update on where you guys stand. This is what, you're going into your fifth year at AU?
Yeah. Yep. That's correct. Yeah. So, we actually like our team a lot. We have, two returning sophomores who were our top two scorers on the team as freshmen. So we're going to be young, but we had a 6'10 kid from Massachusetts. His name is Mark S. Rainey, who had a good freshman year for us, and a kid from New Jersey, Saeed Nelson, who led us in scoring, was top 10 in the country in steals as a freshman, and I think was like third in minutes played in the country as a freshman. So those two guys are back, so they'll kind of be the crux of the team. Then we have a big incoming class, got about six freshmen, two transfers that'll be eligible, and no seniors. So it's six freshmen, two sophomores, four juniors. So a lot of new faces, but we are excited. We think we're talented. We think we got guys that can shoot. I think we added some toughness to our team. So there's a little bit of unknown, but we really like the group, and they've been here few days now, and they're, you know, getting after it, and so we're loving the energy, and we think we got a chance to, you know, as the season goes on, get better and hopefully be pretty good by the end of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, some teams I might be concerned if you got a really young roster, but I know, you know, your head coach Mike Brennan, he's a real teacher, so I suspect that he'll be in there coaching these guys up, even with you in there, you know, mucking things up. No, just teasing.
Yeah, he has to overcome my my incompetence in order to coach the team. So that's always an extra added challenge for Coach Brennan.
With Otto Porter, by the time you hear this podcast, and we may already know the outcome. We're all thinking he's going to stay. And now, having talked to Scott, we have a little bit better understanding of the man behind the basketball. in Otto Porter. Scott, really appreciate your time, man. Anytime you want to come on, talk basketball, whatever, hope we can do it. Hopefully I can get out to AU this year more than I have recently and talk in person as well.
Sounds good to me. I appreciate you reaching out.
Many thanks to Scott Greenman for his time and insight into Otto Porter. While I have a second, remember the Locked On Podcast Network gives you the local angle on the biggest stories. So check out the Locked On Celtics podcast for everything going on with the Gordon Hayward saga.
There is more to me, Queen Eliara of Elfgard, than my elven magic. Just as there's more to GEICO than saving you money, GEICO also gives you 24/7 access to licensed agents online, on the phone, or on the GEICO app. And while I am a mighty elf queen, I am also a mighty big fan of barbecue potato chips. Minions! More smoky mesquite.
GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. Yes, while GEICO could help you rack up more moolah faster than you can say metamorphosis, they've also been the fastest growing auto insurer for more than 10 years. That's more like it. Furthermore, GEICO has fast and friendly claim service. That might seem like an oxymoron, but it's not. All the more reason to say no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
All right, and back here to talk about the last little bit of my conversation with Adam Rubin from Truth About It. It's a little more about Vegas, including who we think will be the leading scorers for the Wizards in Las Vegas. First question.
Yes.
Who leads the Wizards Summer League team in scoring?
Well, I'm fairly confident in my selection of Sheldon Mack, and that's mainly because in the past, the Wizards have really featured players who they thought were going to be on the team and let them get up as many shots as they could. So that's how Chris Singleton and Vesely put up huge stats when they were here. So I think they were going to force feed Mack, like what they did with Bradley Beal, sort of run plays for him, let him get shots up, let him attack the basket. So I think it's going to be a big Sheldon Mack summer.
The fact that he's a guard helps a lot simply because he's going to have the ball in his hand, right? He's not going to be dependent the way Oshefu is. Just to be different, I'll go with McCullough. Again, complete no idea, truly, what the Wizards have in him since he didn't play at all. And, you know, he hasn't been a factor in a couple of years. But, you know, this is the third year for him. He was a guy who had a lot of upside when he was at Syracuse, got hurt. If it's going to happen, this is where it happens, right? This is where the flash shows. If he doesn't flash here in Summer League, it's hard to imagine. I won't say it could never happen, but you know what I mean? If you don't take advantage of the Summer League situation, it's hard to see how does he work his way into the rotation. So give me some Chris McCullough to shake it up, to be a little bit different from you on that one. Second and final question for you. You were going to be at Las Vegas. I will be at Las Vegas. We have not officially discussed if we will meet up or anything, but, you know, presumably you will not snub me and hang out with just your cool friends. Does it make any sense? I mentioned the other day on Twitter asking other people if they were coming, and people decided not to respond too much to me on that one. Do we want to suggest that if you and I meet up, that we tell other people who are going to be out there as well, and if they want to come meet us, press the flesh, meet Adam Rubin, get an autograph if they want? Is that something that we should consider?
Well, I know, because I've been out there many, many years in a row. I recognize a couple Wizards fans I know who go out there pretty often, but it's the Wizards, certainly to throw it out there, the Wizards contingency is normally not that large, but there's some people I recognize year after year who come out there. But yeah, you could, especially because they don't have a big name free agent, or rookie, but, you could throw it out there, but I wouldn't be disappointed if there isn't a large response, simply not based on your popularity, but simply with the numbers of Wizards fans actually out there.
All right, well then, why don't we do this? You and I will work on a plan. I will come back in another podcast before Summer League and let you know what Adam and I have conjured up. I don't know if this means we meet at a hotel, if this means we meet at a bar, we meet out there at UNLV where the games are held, or we meet, you know, at a place where you need to get it at like a What are those? A speakeasy? Maybe it's a scavenger hunt. You have to find us. I don't know. We'll figure out something. But if Adam's cool with that, we'll come up with something. In the worst case, Adam and I will just have a beer or six and go from there.
Yeah. And I guess I need bail money apparently from your introduction. We got to set some money aside.
I've been doing that for the last several weeks, just in case, because you never know. You never know how things are going to go out in Vegas. All right, Adam, I definitely appreciate it, man. I really appreciate it because I know you're out doing your thing. Thank you for your time in your summer league stage advice. Oh, I guess I should have asked you off the top. I'll just ask you quickly. Any one thing in particular, if anybody is coming out, beyond watching the basketball or maybe watching the basketball, is there any one thing in particular that people need to do or any keys to how to navigate the summer league? It's really interesting with the two courts. Anything in particular, even if it's just Las Vegas, anything in particular for you, a sage Las Vegas person with the summer league that you suggest people do or no?
Well, if you're a fan, I'd say come and watch the games. Try to get there a little early. Some inside advice would be check the schedule. If the Lakers are playing, you got to get to that stadium early. Go at halftime of the previous game to get in there because those guys crowd the court. So if you're coming to watch the Wizards and the Lakers are playing anytime near there, make sure you get there early. And if you're out there at the casinos, I'd say I know the Wynn. I know some of the other big higher-end places are where the teams stay. So if you want to be at a craps table with some players or play blackjack next to some guys, you know, go hit up some of the higher-end places, and you'll see a lot of NBA guys there.
Awesome. All right, Adam, I definitely appreciate your time, man. And we will talk soon. Thank you guys for listening. And until next time on the Locked On Wizards podcast, see ya.
Beal gets open for three. Dagger!
Hi, I'm Paul. Verizon has been placing giant letters all over the country to get people to buy into their unlimited plan. Don't get hooked. Switch to Sprint Unlimited, $22.50 per month per line for 4 lines and get the 5th line free. Hurry to your local Sprint store, visit sprint.com/unlimited, or call 1-800-SPRINT-1 today.
Savings until 10/31/18, then $38 per line per month for 5 lines with autopay, excludes taxes, surcharges, roaming, streams, udo, phd, 1080p, music to 1.5 megabits per second, gaming up to 8 megabits per second, subject to credit, $30 activation fee, prohibited network use, rules and data deprioritization apply. Compared to Verizon Beyond Unlimited, carry features, different coverage and offer not everywhere, restrictions apply.